Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to St. Paul's, and a special welcome to our visitors who are worshiping with us today. As you drive around looking at the different farm fields in our county and the counties around us, you oftentimes see a bigger house on a farm, because it oftentimes is the case where farm families would have a lot of children because there is so much work on a farm. Well, today, the Lord calls out to sons and daughters of the church and says, "We need more workers in my harvest field. Will you be one of them?" Today we have a guest preacher with us, President Mark Lutzo, president of Michigan Lutheran Seminary, one of the worker training schools for our Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. We'll be following along with the order of service as it's printed out for you in the bulletin, projected on the screen, following this theme, "Ask the Lord for more workers for his harvest field." Let's begin with our opening hymn, "Drawn to the Cross." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Blessed are they whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered.
Blessed are they whose sin the Lord does not count against them.
Let us confess our sins to the Lord. Almighty and merciful Father, we have strayed from your ways like lost sheep. We have followed what we have devised and desired in our hearts. We have offended you and sinned against your holy law. We have done those things that we should not have done, and we have not done those things that we should have done. Have mercy on us, Lord. Spare us, forgive us, and restore us, according to your promises in Christ Jesus. Our gracious Father in heaven has been merciful to us. He sent his only Son, Jesus Christ, who gave his life as the atoning sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ, and by his authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Lord of the harvest, inspire the hearts of many to offer themselves for the public ministry of your church. Look with favor on our schools, blessing those who teach and those who learn, that they may apply themselves diligently to your will and faithfully to your service. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Please be seated. Our first lesson today, taken from Isaiah chapter 6, who will go and speak for the king? Those who have been cleansed by his sacrifice, the sacrifice of his one and only son, go and they have the backing of the Lord Almighty. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphim, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. "Woe to me," I cried, "I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, and your sin atoned for." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? And I said, Here am I, send me. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We continue with today's setting of Psalm 78. Our second lesson, taken from Romans chapter 10, how can they hear unless someone who is sent tells them? As Scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame, for there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. But not all the Israelites accepted the good news, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our message? Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ, the word of the Lord. Continue with the anthem. Please stand in honor of the gospel. The gospel today from Matthew chapter 9 also serves as the basis for our sermon. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you, O Christ.
Please be seated for our next hymn.
This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. My dear sisters and brothers in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Stockade Annie had two great loves in her life. Her first was her husband, a doctor and a minister. And the second was a piece of property that eventually became known as Fort Campbell. As fate would have it, her husband would die on the very property that would become her next great love. But there's a whole lot more to that love story than just that. You see, upon the death of her husband, the eviction notices had finally piled up to the point where the U.S. government confiscated her land, her family land, her homestead land. You see, the United States government wanted this family land for Stockade Annie. They wanted her homestead property to be the next great military installation for this country. And so, the death of her husband, the loss of her land, I think you'd understand if there was a bitterness that grew up inside of this woman, an understandable bitterness to lose your husband and your family's property almost simultaneously. We'd understand if she was a little bit upset, a little bit bitter. And while it knocked Stockade Annie down for a while, she rebounded in a way that was almost unpredictable. She set her heart to being the best friend that base had ever seen. You see, getting rid of Annie, evicting Annie was easy. Getting rid of her wasn't. For the next 2.5 decades of her life, she set her heart to serving the men who served at that base. She got the nickname Stockade Annie because she tirelessly and relentlessly visited those who found themselves down in the stocks or sick for some reason or another. It was almost unprecedented for a woman in that day and age, and a civilian woman at that, to have that kind of access on that base. An all-access pass signed by every general that ever served at Fort Campbell. It was remarkable change of heart that went on inside of that woman. To go from that woman who stood on her front porch with a shotgun chasing surveyors off of her property, swearing that they will never take her land, to having an all-access, unhindered pass to anywhere she wanted to go. But if you met her, you would clearly see her heart, a heart that ached for those who served there. And when a heart aches for something, the result of that aching heart can be a beautiful thing. My friends, never more beautiful than when God's heart ached for you. Did you hear that in the gospel lesson that Pastor Bodie read? Listen for that aching heart again as I read these words from Matthew chapter 9. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. The word that's translated there, compassion, has a deeper flavor in the original language. It's kind of that seat of emotion. It's that feeling, the pit in the pit of your stomach. It's when your heart aches for something. And what caused Jesus' aching heart is he looked out over those towns and villages, and what did he see? He saw sheep without a shepherd. He saw sheep, God's chosen people, who were harassed and helpless, Scripture said. Again, two words that have a little bit more flavor in the original language. That first word, harassed, it comes from a root word which means to skin or to flay. Imagine like what a hunter does when he harvests the hide of an animal. What was Jesus saying? When he looked out with his divine eyes over those towns and villages, what did he see? He saw people whose consciences were raw with guilt. He saw people who were burdened by their sin. He saw people who felt shame. He saw people who needed to know of a love, a loving God, a forgiving God, a gracious God, but only heard of a punishing God. He saw people who needed to know the gospel, but only heard the law. And his heart ached. People who were harassed and helpless. The word which kind of means to be cast aside like with a mortal wound, left for dead, no hope of survival. That's what he saw. What was that world like in Jesus' day? He saw people walking around with healthy limbs, with broken hearts and broken lives. He saw people whose bodies were filled with leprosy, but that outward disease didn't bother them nearly as much as the rot and the decay that was going on inside of them. Jesus walks around these towns and villages, and he saw his sheep harassed, helpless, left for dead, needing a shepherd, but only hearing of law and punishment. And his heart ached for them. His heart aches for them. And so Jesus looks and he points out to his disciples and he says, "Do you see this?" As he looks out of those towns and villages and his heart is aching inside of him, he doesn't draw away from them. In fact, like Stockade Annie, he drew closer to them. He drew closer to them by promising them that he had come to be that fulfillment of all of those promises of God. He drew closer to them by promising them, but by his death on the cross and his resurrection from the grave, Jesus was going to heal their broken hearts. He was going to suture their flayed consciences. He was going to bring life to those mortally wounded souls. But before he carries out all of that work, he turns to his disciples and he says, "Do you see this?" He turns to his disciples and he says to them exactly, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." As he looks out over those towns and villages, he sees a harvest that is ripe. He sees people that were flayed. He sees consciences that were burdened. He sees people that need to know that they are going to be forgiven by him. But he turns to the disciples and he begs them to see the same thing. He begs them to see that without the gospel intervention in their lives, that there is going to be a world of sinners that are lost for eternity in hell. He begs them to have that same aching heart that he did. How could they not? Right? Well, maybe a question better might be, how could we not have that same aching heart? You see, the description of the towns and villages in Jesus' day are not all that different from the description of the towns and villages in our day. Our communities, maybe even our own families, we see aching hearts, don't we? We see people that are aching for a message of love and forgiveness. We see families that are torn apart at its seams by a word that was spoken that can't be unspoken. We see communities that are ripped apart because of tragedy that has happened. We see cries and we hear cries of injustice in this world. Social injustices, political injustices, whatever it might be. We hear these cries of people and we think to ourselves, where's the healing? Where's the hope for them? How can our hearts not ache inside of us? When we look out all those towns and villages, our communities, we realize what Jesus said 2,000 years ago is just as true today as it was then. And the harvest certainly is plentiful. But the workers, right? So Jesus said, but the workers are few. You know, July is kind of an exciting month in our synod, in our national church body, because in the month of July, the majority of those men that have graduated from Wisconsin Lutheran Seminary, they head to their first call, that place where they've been assigned by our assignment committee in our synod, and they go there and they are installed into that position to serve as a pastor, an under-shepherd of the Good Shepherd. This year, 43 men assigned into exotic ministries with titles like missionary to the Philippines. No pressure. Big country, lots of people. Go do the work. Places like you've never heard of, like Red Deer and Wetaskiwin in Canada. 43 men that are the answer to God's people's prayers. 43 men that have this eager desire to serve God's people in those green, luscious pastures of His good news. 43 men. 43 men in a world of 7 billion that is growing more and more ungodly every day. Surely there must be more, right? So what do we do? Well, Jesus told us. He says, ask. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into His harvest field. If you ever come to my office at Michigan Lutheran Seminary, which I would invite you to do, you'd walk through the door and you'd see my desk and a bookshelf, and above that bookshelf, you'll see those words printed there. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into His harvest field. I had a friend of mine when I was installed there as president of the school. I had my friend put those words up there as a constant reminder to me that that's what the Lord has called me to do. At this special school that has a very specific purpose, that is to encourage young men and women to think about how God has gifted them and how they might use those gifts in service to our Savior. Hopefully serving someday as a pastor, a teacher, a staff minister in congregations like this one, like your pastor, who's a graduate of Michigan Lutheran Seminary. I'm almost embarrassed to admit, though, that as many times as I walk in and out of that office and I see those words there, I don't do what the Lord says. It's not hard. And it's not like the Lord needs my prayers for more workers. The Lord will do what the Lord will accomplish in His church. The church doesn't need my ministry. The church doesn't need your ministry and your prayers. The Lord doesn't need that. And yet He invites us to be a part of that. He invites us to be part of this proclamation of life and salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. He invites us to be a part of that, that which angels envy to do, which we sang just a few minutes earlier. And yet I don't. I don't ask nearly enough. And I'm going to venture a guess to say that maybe you don't either. When was the last time you in your personal prayers asked the Lord of the harvest to send workers out into the harvest field? Or maybe as a congregation, when was the last time that you sat and said, Lord, we see the potential, we see the opportunities that are there, and we know that we need more. Can we do that now? Will you join me in prayer? Lord of the harvest, Savior of souls, send workers out into the fields to gather in those who are lost, those who are hurting, those who do not yet know of the salvation that is theirs by faith in Jesus Christ. Raise up the next generation of gospel workers that your name may continue to be proclaimed and your gospel preached to the ends of the earth, that all may know of your love. In Jesus we pray. Amen. You know what He did next? He invites, immediately after Jesus invites His disciples to look out and see the harvest field that is plentiful, that is ripe for the gospel. And He invites His disciples to have that same aching heart. And He invites them to pray for more workers. Do you know what He does next? He sends them out. Mark chapter 10, verse 1, He sends Jesus' disciples out as the answer to their own prayers. And sometimes I wonder if they knew that, if they knew that by praying this prayer, and then after that, asking the Lord to send workers out, and then after that, Jesus saying, guess what? You're the answer, go do it. I wonder if they would have said, well, maybe not so fast, Lord. I wonder if they knew that by answering that prayer with their lives, that they would be led into a life of persecution and poverty. But those disciples have said, here am I, Lord, send me. I wonder if they knew that this ministry of the gospel would cost them their lives. 11 of the 12 of those disciples would have their lives ended by martyrdom because of the name of Christ. Would they have said, Lord, the harvest is plentiful and the workers are few, and so send me out? I don't know. But I wonder if you would, or if I would. If I knew that by praying that prayer, Lord, the harvest is plentiful, the workers are few, I'm going to ask you to send out workers in the harvest field, that would mean that my son, who's a senior at MLS, would say, Dad, I want to go into the ministry. And that by saying that to me, I know then that going into that ministry, it may mean that he's not going to spend Christmas with us or Easter or Thanksgiving. That by going into that ministry, he's going to be called into a congregation, maybe like this one, 2-3 states away from where his parents live. And he's going to celebrate those festivals of the church here with his spiritual family. Would I still say, Lord, the need is great. The harvest is there. I wonder if you, knowing that it might mean that your son or your daughter goes to a place like Luther Prep, and they live in a dormitory, Michigan Lutheran Seminary, and they live a distance from you because you know that that's a place where they're going to be encouraged to serve. Would you still say, yes, Lord, here's my child. Here's my son or my daughter. The child that's sitting on your lap right now. Or the grandson or granddaughter that you're thinking about right now. They don't need to be the smartest kid in the class. They don't need to be the most social person in the class. They simply have to have a heart. A heart for the harvest. Think about the men that Jesus called into that public ministry of the gospel. You have James and John, those brothers, who argued in front of Jesus which one of them was the greatest in the kingdom of God. Are you serious? He's right there. You think about Peter, that bold disciple, who oftentimes spoke before he thought. You think about the tax collector, the extortionist, who stole from his own people, became rich in the process. These are his words that we're meditating upon today, inspired by the Spirit. Matthew, right? The gospel writer, Matthew. Or you think about Thomas, that disciple that you know better as Doubting Thomas, right? The one who doubted the very central message of Christianity, that Christ, who had been crucified, was raised from the dead. Yes, these are the men that Jesus calls in the public ministry of the gospel. Unholy men to do holy work. What a privilege. What an honor. Undeserved. And yet called by God to do ministry in his name. It's a tough thing sometimes. This public ministry of the gospel. It's a tough thing sometimes. It sends you into places you'd rather not be. It sets you up against people who boast of themselves. It sets you into a situation where you need to call someone to repentance. And that's hard. It puts you in crisis moments in people's lives. And when you walk or you drive to that situation, you wonder, what am I going to say that can be helpful right here, right now? But the reason why they call you to be there is because, not because you're so great or you have something special to say, but because you bring the gospel with you. You bring this message of healing and hope. Healing for flayed consciences that are raw with guilt and pain, and hope for mortally wounded souls. That's a pretty special thing. Stockade Annie, she died on September 26, 1969, at the age of 93. And when she died, even though she had no military training or military experience in any way, when she died, they buried her with full military honors. They say when she died, everything that she owned was contained in four cardboard boxes, because that's not what mattered to Stockade Annie. What mattered to her was the outpouring of love that she could give to those that served and the love that she received back. And so if you go to Clarksville, Tennessee, and you visit the Donald S. Pratt Military Museum, you'll see a corner exhibit dedicated to Stockade Annie, so that anybody who comes to that base can see the heart of a woman who wanted to serve. So much so that it's written about her that she may have lost her farm, but she ended up owning Fort Campbell. An aching heart can be a beautiful thing, can it? I don't know if there's ever going to be a museum that has a corner display dedicated to your honor. There won't be one for me, nor should there be. But I do know this. That when I get to heaven, and I get to gaze at my Savior and his nail-pierced hands and his sword-pierced side, and I see him there with my own eyes, that I'm going to stand shoulder to shoulder with those that I had the opportunity to serve with the gospel. That the Lord allowed me the opportunity to heal sutured or flayed consciences and mortally wounded souls. To bring them hope and peace, not because I said it in some magical way, but because the gospel works through the Spirit's power to bring life and salvation. And there we will stand together, gazing upon our Savior for an eternity, praising his name. No more mortally wounded souls or flayed consciences or guilty feelings, but peace. And joy forever. That's a special thing. This ministry of the gospel. Friends, the harvest is certainly plentiful. You know that. You see that. But you also know that the workers are few. And so I beg you to ask. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Amen. Please stand. Now may the God who began a good work in you carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Let's join in confessing our faith with the Apostles' Creed on page 8. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Maybe see.
Heavenly Father, you loved the world and gave your Son to free us from sin and death by his obedient death on the cross.
We confess that without your love, we are lost.
Lord of the Church, we thank you for the treasure of the gospel. By your Spirit, keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith.
Strengthen our determination to do what pleases you, no matter what the danger.
Guard and guide those who carry a cross in the name of Christ and face ridicule and persecution for the sake of the kingdom, missionaries and chaplains, young people who stand up for what is right in the face of pressure to do what is wrong, and all who pay a high price for their faith and values as Christians.
By your Spirit, O Lord, grant them patience and endurance.
Keep in your care those who carry heavy burdens in life, the sick and the chronically ill, the depressed and the lonely, those torn by conflict in personal relationships, and those victimized by war and injustice. Comfort all who face the terrors of life with a heavy heart. Jesus, you ascended on high and give gifts to your church, pastors, teachers, staff ministers, and other called workers, to build up your people for works of service. We trust you to provide, and we thank you for letting our church body be part of the work in your kingdom. Please continue to bless the ministerial education schools of our Wisconsin Synod, that your word may be powerfully taught and future called workers might be powerfully prepared by your Spirit. Send more workers into your harvest field and lead more to consider studying for this noble task. Heavenly Father, we praise you for giving Dick and Kathy Knack 53 years of marriage. Through the decades, you have been the source of every joy and their strength in every challenge. Be with them and bless their children and grandchildren as they celebrate this milestone from your loving hand. Watch over those who care for others, pastors and counselors, physicians and nurses, social workers and caring friends, all who feed the hungry, comfort the hurting, and stand beside the dying. Hear us as we pray in silence. Help us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Keep us faithful even to the point of death, that we may receive the crown of life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Continue with our next hymn.
Thank you.
Please stand. Almighty God, we thank you for teaching us the things you want us to believe and do. Help us by your Holy Spirit to keep your word in pure hearts, that we may be strengthened in faith, guided in holiness, and comforted in life and in death. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.